Word of God given to us today is Acts 16, verses 11 to 15.
신약성경 215쪽입니다. 사도행전 16장 11절부터
Allow me to read the text. From Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the woman who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. Amen. The eyeglasses store that my wife and I have been a customer for more than 10 years is nearby our home in Seogyeodong. And the owner is a Christian. Since he opened the store 13 years ago as a young man, he has been working diligently for the past 13 years. At first, he began with a not too big of a store on a street, but during the past 13 years, the shop has expanded twice, and it is now a well-run store which doesn't lose out when compared to other stores. Every time I visit the store because of a problem with my glasses, I am happy to see diligence resulting in substantial fruits. When I went there 2 months ago to replace the lenses of my glasses, the owner said that the shop was moving next year. I had to ask why, since the store had been in one location for over 13 years, and the store owner had invested in its growth there. I couldn't understand why the shop was moving. The owner answered that he had been paying a rent of 8 million won a month, but suddenly the building owner had asked for a rent of 36 million won, and it was impossible for him to afford such rent. If you increase rent from 8 million won to 36 million won, the size of the increase is no less than 350%. I had to ask how that could be. The reason for it was like this. The building owner was a very reasonable man who had never demanded anything unreasonable from his tenants. But recently, people known as planned real estate developers came to see the building owner, and they proposed that if the owner were to accept the project they had planned and developed, the owner could earn a return of 350% on his building. The building owner didn't listen to them at first, but he came around to the developer's suggestion and demanded that all tenants in his building pay a monthly rent increase by 350% starting from next year. How could any small business owner accept such a demand? This was in effect a unilateral notice for them to leave. The eyeglass store I frequented had invested quite an amount of money to expand the size of their store last year, but all that investment has come to nothing. Come next year, he will have to move out of the store without getting won back on the money he invested for expansion. I remarked to the store owner that he must be very upset. He said, "I'll just have to work hard again," and smiled. But I could see tears behind that empty smile. And I couldn't help feeling sorry and frustrated at the world which could step on the fruits of diligent work of one young man for 13 years without any compensation under the name of real estate development. It was the night of December 31st, 2002. That night, I attended a year-end get-together where about 20 young Christians had gathered. Most of them were married couples with family. After dinner, we decided to take turns sharing with others one thing that God had done during the past year that each was thankful for. Surprisingly, among the young people who were there, six persons said they thanked God that Mr. Ro Mu-hyun, who had been elected as the 16th president just 12 days ago, among them, two of them even showed tears, saying how God had listened to their prayers to make candidate Ro be elected as president. There was something in common among the young people who said that they thanked God that he allowed Mr. Ro to become president. The thing that they had in common was that they were people who all couldn't meet the high rent increase demanded by their landlords and had to move to the outskirts of Seoul or nearby cities. The year 2002 was the year in which the Commercial Building Lessee Protection Law came into effect. The Commercial Building Lessee Protection Law was a law intended to protect the rights of small business owners from real estate businessmen and building owners. For example, the law increased the term of the minimum lease term to 5 years so that commercial building owners could no longer increase rent each year. However, as soon as the law came into effect, great chaos ensued. Building owners reacted to such law by increasing rent by huge amounts. For the 5 years, they wouldn't be able to raise rent. And as a result, many business owners had to move out because they could not afford the sudden increase in rent. When this happened, the residential property owners, who had nothing to do with the Commercial Building Lessee Protection Law, also joined in and suddenly increased key money deposits. And as a result, many people had to look for housing that they could afford, and there was a massive relocation. Most of those citizens, like the six young Christians who were at the year-end get-together and who had shared with the group that they thanked God for allowing the presidential candidate Ro Mu-hyun to become president, had supported Mr. Ro in the election. They believed that Mr. Ro Mu-hyun, who came from a humble background, would help their lives. But unfortunately, the real estate policy pursued by President Ro Mu-hyun's administration ended as a failure, and real estate prices and rent shot up to unprecedented levels. Each time there was an article about how the real estate prices were going up during his administration, I pictured the young Christians who had thanked God for making President Kan Eun-ryul win the election and couldn't help but feeling depressed. No matter what good intentions the president has, no matter what good policy that the government may come up with, they cannot succeed unless supported by the sound minds of its citizens. So long as the majority of our citizens think of real estate as the easiest way to increase wealth and not as a place for work or residence, then the problem with real estate will not be resolved in this small country. The appreciation of the market value of a house over time as one lives in it is entirely different from engaging in speculative purchase of a house for purpose of seeking a quick profit. I moved to Hapjeongdong 27 years ago. At the time, Hapjeongdong was a very humble and peaceful neighborhood. But only a few years ago, the winds of real estate development began to blow, and there was a large displacement of residents because the residents could no longer afford the rent, which had suddenly increased by a big margin, and they had to move far away where the rents were cheaper. Among them, of course, were members of our church and our pastoral staff. Because the landlords demanded higher rent each time the lease ended, they had to move further away from the church each time, and watching them with a frustrated and saddened heart, I thought to myself, if you have a house to let, one can say that you are relatively well off compared to the person who has to rent a place to live because he or she does not own a house. Those who demand a significantly increased key money deposit each time a lease is renewed merely because real estate prices have increased, and then consider it only natural that tenants who cannot meet such demand are forced to move out in search of cheaper housing, these people, are they without an exception non-Christians? No, that cannot be the case. Among these people, a significant number are probably Christians. If that is the case, what does faith mean to them? What does it mean to them to live as Christians? And who is Jesus Christ in whom they believe? In today's scripture, we meet a true Christian. Lydia, who met Paul at the river outside the city gate of Philippi for the first time, accepted the gospel from Paul and became a child of God. Paul, unlike Lydia, was not a resident of Philippi. Paul was a pastor of the Antioch church in Syria, in the Asian continent. The reason God led Paul from a faraway place to the river outside the city gate of Philippi in the European continent on that day and at that specific time was to save one person Lydia. Understanding the remarkable love of God, Lydia was baptized together with the members of her household. Paul, who baptized Lydia and members of her household, defined baptism as being clothed with Christ. Therefore, for Lydia, baptism was the expression of her determination to establish Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, as the purpose of her life, and to abandon her former life of pursuing worldly wealth as a merchant of purple cloth, which was symbolized by lavish purple cloth. After being baptized, Lydia said to Paul and his companions, when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. The first thing Lydia, clothed with Christ, did after being baptized was to invite Paul and his companions to stay at her house. Paul and his companions together consisted of four men. She did not even set the duration of their stay. She asked them to stay at her place as long as they desired, whether a week, a month, or a year. When Paul and his companions declined Lydia's invitation, Lydia persuaded them to stay at her house. The important message here is what Lydia said to persuade Paul and his companions. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house. This meant that if you, Paul, as the person who delivered the gospel to me, recognize me as a believer of Christ, you must stay at my house. Lydia, who received the gospel and was baptized by great apostle Paul to be clothed with Christ, was a true Christian who correctly learned, understood, and practiced the truth that living as a Christian meant offering all of her possessions, symbolized by her house, to be used as instruments for the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. If a man cannot serve two different men as his masters, would it not be even more difficult when it comes to God? Living as a Christian who believes in God means serving God of the Trinity as our master in life. If we have made God our Lord, wouldn't everything except God become only means and instruments of God? If we say we believe in the Lord, but consider our possessions to be our masters, wouldn't this be evidence that we have not yet accepted God as our Lord? In that sense, Lydia's confession of, if you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house, is not a message that only applies to those who own a home. In other words, it is a message that applies to even those who do not own a home. A Christian, whether or not a homeowner, is a person who uses his possessions, big or small, as instruments for the purpose of realizing God's love. This is the only evidence that a person has made God his Lord as a person indebted by God's love. Then, what can we show as evidence that we are Christians who believe in the Lord? To what or to whom do we serve as the master of our life? Is it the God of Trinity or our possessions? As I've once stated during a discussion with Professor Lee Eo-ryong in one of the Thursday lecture series, I lived in the same apartment for 3 years from 1998 to 2001 in Geneva, Switzerland. However, not once was the rent raised during those 3 years, not even a little bit. This was not because of the landlord's kindness toward me. The rent was not raised because the Swiss law prohibits a landlord from raising rent while a tenant occupies the leased home until the tenant voluntarily moves out of the house. And such law is observed by everyone there. Does this mean that a landlord in some cases would not be able to increase rent for 10 or even 20 years? Yes. Thus, by living a long time in a rented home, the tenant is able to enjoy benefits comparable to a raise in salary so that the tenant and his family can live a comfortable life. Of my acquaintances in Switzerland, there was a Korean who had been living in the same house for over 30 years as a tenant. During those 30 years with his increased income, he managed to successfully raise 3 daughters. 2 of his daughters got married and the last one will be married next month. Although he will have married off 3 daughters within just a few years, he didn't feel any financial pressures, partly because of the different wedding culture, but largely due to the fact that he had been paying the same rent for the past 30 years. In Switzerland, once a tenant enters the leased property, the rent is frozen, and the landlord cannot ask the tenant to move out. When a tenant voluntarily moves to another place seeking bigger or smaller housing, then the landlord can enter into a new lease with a new tenant. And while the new tenant resides in the leased property, the rent is frozen at the newly contracted price until the tenant moves out. This is not unique to Switzerland. Many Western countries have reached social consensus for such type of property system.
대체 누가 그처럼 이상적인 사회적인 합의를 이루어 놓았겠습니까?
The important thing is who was the driving force for such ideal social consensus? Needless to say, Christians were the driving force. This was brought about by true practicing Christians who believe in God of the Trinity. And like Lydia, they used their possessions, which they did not consider to be their life goal, as the means and instruments to realize God's love. Did I not mention that during my sabbatical last year, I stayed in Borken, a small village in Germany, for 3 months? At the time, the landlord who offered us housing free of charge for 3 months was a young German Christian man who ran a sizable company. I asked this gentleman, who also had a PhD in economics, what the average annual rate of return was on investments made by the German people. He told me that German businessmen, on average, realize a 5% profit on their investment. But after paying 40 to 50% of that as tax, their net rate of return becomes 2.5% to 3%, which still is satisfactory to most Germans. For instance, a German investing 100 million won would be satisfied if he realized a profit of 5 million won, pays 2 to 2.5 million won as tax, and receives a net profit of 2.5 to 3 million won. If 1 billion won was invested, they would be satisfied with a net profit of 25 to 30 million won. When I asked him whether this was really true, he looked at me and said, "It would be strange for a person to seek a bigger profit, because Swiss society is made up of people with such sound minds. Sudden rent hikes are not possible, and speculative investments in real estate cannot take root." In Korea, would a person investing 1 billion won be satisfied with an annual net profit of 25 to 30 million after tax? Wouldn't most Koreans hope to make a fortune overnight with 1 billion won investment? Most churches in Western Europe these days are empty. Looking only at church attendance, it appears as if Christianity has declined to its worst state in Europe. However, if we look outside their churches, the spirit of Christianity is still quite alive. The opposite is true in our case. When we look inside Korean churches, Christianity appears to be highly vibrant. However, when we look outside our churches, we can hardly find any Christian spirit in a society where one-fourth of its population is made up of Christians, including Protestants and Catholics. Shouldn't we think deeply as to which would be more pleasing to God? Even if we cannot establish a society as in Europe, but should we not at least begin? There was a man who fought over his inheritance with his brother.
유산 싸움을 벌인다면 그들은
The fact that brothers in blood fought over the inheritance left by their deceased father meant that they were slaves of possessions, who served their possessions as their lord. The younger brother came to Jesus and asked Jesus to order his older brother to fairly divide the inheritance. After asking the younger brother whether he thought Jesus was merely an arbiter of quarrels over inheritance, Jesus said in Luke 12:15, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Jesus said that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Why does a man's life not consist in the abundance of his possessions? It is because no one can avoid or defeat death with the abundance of his possessions. True life comes only from eternal God through Jesus, who defeated death and was resurrected. And that is the reason why Jesus told the parable of the foolish rich man to the younger brother who served his possessions as his master and was fighting with his brother over his inheritance. A rich man accumulated wealth and sang that he will eat, drink, and be merry. Jesus' reply to his song was as follows. Luke 12, verses 20 to 21. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. Our life does not consist in the abundance of our possessions. Our life will only be weakened and become shallow if we serve only the abundance of our possessions as the master of our lives. Let us prove that we are Christians who believe in the Lord by serving eternal God of the Trinity as our only master and use all our possessions as means and instruments to realize God's love. As God made the life of Lydia of today's scripture 2,000 years ago to be eternally noble by making her the first believer in history to be baptized on the European continent, God will also make our lives eternally shine before God like bright stars in the night. Let us pray. Lydia was a woman whose purpose was worldly wealth, symbolized by lavish purple clothes, and served her possessions as her master. But after receiving the grace of salvation by the miraculous love of God, Lydia persuaded Paul and his companions that, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." Lydia was a true Christian who correctly learnt and willingly put into practice the truth that living as a Christian meant offering all her possessions as means and instruments to realize God's love. The Lord made Lydia's life eternally noble by making her the first believer in history to be baptized on the European continent. As we compared ourselves to the empty churches of Western Europe, we felt that we were better people. However, there, the world outside the church is driven by the Christian spirit. There, a tenant is not forced to move out from his residence because of a sudden large increase in rent. A businessman does not seek a huge profit overnight. And real estate speculation cannot take root there. However, in this country, the Christian spirit is confined inside the church and can hardly be found in the outside world. Although more than a quarter of the Korean people are Christians, our society is becoming increasingly corrupted and chaotic rather than becoming purified. Please forgive us as we repent of our wrongdoings in living a life serving worldly possessions as our master, although we claim to believe in God. Help us not forget that life does not consist in the abundance of one's possessions. Help us to always remember that our life will only appear to be shallow in God's eyes if we try to glorify our life with the abundance of our possessions. By using our possessions as a means and instruments to realize God's love, let us testify, like Lydia, that we are Christians who believe in the Lord. And through us, may this society be filled with the Spirit of Christ and allow our lives to shine eternally before God like stars in the night. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.